Hi, this is Kent Belt for Harper.
Hello. Thank you for spending time with me today on the phone.
Oh, no problem.
I think you've probably done a lot of these kinds of interviews, haven't you?
No, not really.
Okay. I have seen a few things online that you've, like there was a YouTube kind of a thing about your work over there.
Yes.
Okay. Can you start by giving me your credentials and your nursing background?
Yes. I'm actually became a nurse probably back in 2006. So I've only been a nurse for about 8 years.
Okay.
And I spent most of my time in various areas in nursing, most of it in the ICU. And I went back to school and got my master's in nursing education. So I've worked hospital, nursing home. I was an assistant director of nursing there. I taught a school for 3 years, and it was for the health careers program for high school students who were interested in becoming nurses. And I've been in the Army probably about 7 years as a nurse, and did a lot of different types of nursing positions, such as I spent a year mobilized doing pre-mobilization exams and for soldiers who were deploying. So
okay.
That's kind of where I got my specialty to come here. And my last position that I had prior to becoming on active duty, because I'm a reservist, as a director of nursing education at the Palm Beach County Jail. So I have 180 medical staff that I'm responsible for their education and management and training.
Okay. Let me just finish getting that down. So you are from Florida, that's correct?
Yes, I am from Florida. I live in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and I work in West Palm Beach at the Palm Beach Jail, and I work for Armour Correctional Services.
Okay. Can you spell that? What correctional services?
Armour, A-R-M-O-R.
Okay. Thank you. So My understanding is you're a grandma. Is that correct?
That is. I have four grandchildren and one on the way in February.
All right. So how is it that you are Army reservist then? What took you in that direction?
Well, I actually went into the Army back in 1976, right out of high school. I was enlisted. I was a medic and an OR tech.
Okay.
And I did that for a short period of time and got out. And then I come from a very long military family background. And so over the years, I've always wanted to do something for my country, do something for the soldiers, go back and possibly get my nursing degree. And I've worked in other areas. Actually, I was the director of education at a hospital for a few years before I even became a nurse. So I went to Florida Atlantic University and got my and received a bachelor's in health services, and
okay.
That's so I just done a lot of education and training in different areas such as March of Dimes and American Heart Association before I even became a nurse, and over the years I've just kind of keep following the path back into healthcare. And while I was a director of education at the hospital, I was responsible for all the nursing education, and I felt it was important to do the best job that I could, so I went back to school and went ahead and got an ADN in nursing. I went and received an associate's degree. I'd also, since that time, got a master's in business. So prior to getting my nursing degree, I had my BHS and my MBA. So that's with my education background, that's how I was able to become the director of education. It was Jackson County Memorial Hospital in Altus, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it was very exciting, and I loved nursing school. And when I finished nursing school, I felt it was extremely important to build my skills because nursing courses themselves in the nursing program only gives you the foundation of nursing. And in order to really truly understand and be a good nurse, you need to spend time as a nurse. And I felt to be the best nurse educator, then I needed to be able to have the experience behind me and not just the book knowledge.
Right. Okay. So how long have you been in the reserves? This is the Army Reserves, is that correct?
In the Army Reserves, I've only been in for 7 years.
Okay. Is this your first deployment?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And when did you arrive? Now, can we say that you're in Afghanistan? Is that okay to say?
Yes. Yeah, it's okay that you can say I'm in Afghanistan.
And when did you arrive?
I got here in August.
All right. August of 2013.
Correct.
Okay. And what was your assignment?
I'm the deputy surgeon. I oversee the medical coverage and monitor the health and welfare of the soldiers for the first theater sustainment brigade. So
All right.
So I monitor any soldier that is injured or sick, and they require hospitalization. I actually monitor and track them from the time of injury or illness to the time they go back to their unit or go back home for recovery.
Okay. So how did you get into training Afghan nurses?
I was sitting at a table talking to a couple of the doctors that have been, that's their mission is to help with the train and assist and advise with the Afghan hospital. There has been a program here for probably 10 years that the Canadian military had a nursing school and was trying to do the train, advise, and assist with the nurses at the hospital. Well, their mission ended last probably December. It ended in September. So it's been a few months lapse since they've had a nurse to with their program to help them. And we were talking about the program that the doctors were doing, and I told them that, well, you know, I, you know, am a nurse educator, and that, you know, I love teaching, and if there, you know, was something that I could do to help them, that I'd be more than happy. And I just kind of left it at that and just kind of walked away. And probably about a week or two later, the doctor came back to me, and he says, are you going to be able to help us with this program? And I thought, you know, I'm volunteering for. This is not my mission, my assignment. This is additional on top of my duties here that I'm required to do. And I said, well, I would need to clear it with my manager, my supervisor, and to make sure that I was allowed to do this additional project. And I have received complete support from my chief of staff here to allow me to go over and assist with the mission at the hospital in monitoring, mentoring, and training the nursing staff there.
So you're actually at an Afghan hospital?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So can you describe a typical nurse in an Afghan hospital? What kind of education and training have they received?
Most of the Afghan nurses have received two to three-year training that they went through with the Canadian forces. Their majority of their nurses, believe it or not, are males,
okay,
which is a reverse from America.
Is that due to a cultural element?
Yes,
or
it
what?
Is. It is a cultural thing. It definitely is a cultural thing.
Okay. All right. And what other training have they received? Like, have they had the equivalent of a high school education that we might?
No. They probably have no prior education at all, or very little. The men may have some education, and they may have some. The courses, from what I could, I have been reviewing all of the curriculum from the previous courses, and it looks like it's a pretty well rounded. I would say closer to like an associate degree program, nursing program for them. So they have. They have received a basic knowledge for nursing. But my what I've seen as far as after the program and the training they've received in an institutional setting is that there needs that they don't have a lot of nurse mentors, preceptors in the hospital that like I'm used to back home. When we have a new nurse that comes in the hospital, there's a preceptor, a mentor assigned to that person to help them. And they have a nursing director. I've helped in the ICU, and also I taught a class on Monday to the ancillary staff. And both the director nurses are male nurses, are males. I guess I'm making an assumption that they're nurses, but both the directors of nursing are males. And the staff, they do their patient care, but they don't seem to have team leaders or a preceptor mentor type person in their area. I think their director is one responsible for oversight of the nursing on the floors.
Okay. So what have you taught? You've taught specific concepts to these nurses. What have you taught?
Well, the very first day when I went into the ICU, my intent was just to monitor the staff to see how they were doing patient care. And they had a couple of ventilator patients, so I spent time asking them about patient care, you know, as far as, I mean, just basic stuff. How often do you bathe your patient? How often do you turn your patient? How do you do oral care? You know, and as I'm watching them do care, another thing I noted is they lacked a lot in documentation. They say they do a task, but they give no description of the task. They don't write whether the patient tolerated or didn't tolerate it. They basically left some of the important information out that tells a doctor whether they're getting better or not.
Okay.
So when I noticed that, I spent my first class I taught them was actually on mechanical suctioning, so they would understand the infection control process of it, as far as giving their patient 100% oxygen before they do their suctioning, and the different types of suctioning, you know, ventilator suctioning, suctioning for just in the mouth, wound care suctioning, chest tube suctioning. So we went over several aspects of suctioning, and the nursing staff asked questions, which was really good. I have an interpreter that's with me, and some of the like a nurse practitioner, there was two nurse practitioners that were females there, and they could speak some English, so they were able to ask questions, and what they weren't able to translate across, I had an interpreter to help me.
Okay. All right. So you taught about suctioning and then about you asked questions about their basic care. You noticed how they did their basic patient care.
Right.
So when you went into this, what was your intention with these nurses versus what has been the reality of what you can do with these nurses?
Well, I probably did not go in there with any high expectations because I had talked to some of the Canadian nurse educators, and they said not to expect anything elaborate, not to expect any high technologies. And so when I went in there, I was really actually pleasantly surprised that they really did know some of the basics. They knew to turn their patient every 2 hours. They knew to, as far as do oral care, they knew to do all of this. There was just some really more of techniques and making sure for infection control to have better patient outcomes is what I ended up focusing my attention on. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. Now, their equipment is a bit archaic, probably 1970 circa, so they don't have the newer technologies that we have. Their machines are much older. So, you know, taking that into consideration with teaching, I had to modify. Like, they have no wall-mounted suctioning sections. They have no, all of their oxygen is done by canisters, you know, tanks next to the bed, not in line in the walls that we have at home.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that is an adjustment after our high-tech hospital situation.
Yes.
Okay.
No
so
digital machines.
How many times have you been with the Afghan nurses so far?
I have probably been over there like 5 times so far. And, in fact, they have asked me to come back and teach a class to the ancillary staff on next week. I'm going to teach lung assessments, and I downloaded lung sounds on my iPhone so I can play them to them so we can not only discuss the lung assessment and some sounds, but that they can actually listen and hopefully be able to tell me what they are at the end of the class, at, you know, that in the different types of respirations.
That's excellent. That's very useful. What is their receptivity to your interaction with them?
They're actually very open and ask lots of questions through the interpreter. The nursing directors are so open and welcoming for someone to come in and help. And that I'm volunteering actually made it even better for them because they felt that, here, I'm going out of my way. This isn't my job. I don't have to do this, but I'm willing to come over and share my knowledge and share my experience to help them to improve their care as well as, you know, hopefully improving the patient outcomes.
Okay. I'm just looking over the questions that my editor wanted me to cover.
Okay.
So we think about, I know we mentioned that the fact that more of the nurses are males versus, you said there were 2 females who were nurse practitioners.
Yes.
The cultural elements that you've experienced in the hospital there, how would you explain that to American nurses? What's different about the cultural
part? And it's actually the patient care. So the in the ICU there, the male nurses took care of the male patients and the female nurses took care of the female patients.
Okay.
So that would be a total different interaction that we would have.
Okay. Has there been any, because you're a female teaching males, is that comfortable for the male nurses?
I think that because of the history of the Canadians coming in first and teaching, that because I'm a military officer and I'm coming over there to advise and help them. I've been very, very open, receptive. I have not had any conflict or problems with the male nurses. Now, but I do make sure that before I teach or train any new topic or any new information with a staff, I talk to the nursing director first. I tell the nursing director, we need to work on infection control. I want to teach a class on infection control. And these are the areas that I point out. Like a very culturally different thing for us that really drives me crazy is they wear sandals with no socks.
Oh.
And it's like, oh my gosh, this is driving me. But I know it's a cultural thing, and so I have to kind of to let that one go. And just kind of remember. So I talked to the director. He wears more like clogs and the Crocs that we wear and with socks. And I go, now those nursing shoes I approve of. I think that all nurses should wear shoes like that. And so just to try to not say, no, you can't wear that, we talk about, well, what happens if you drop a sharp, you know, and stuff like that. So I try not to say, no, you can't do it, but I do try to focus on what's better for the person and what's better for the patient.
Right. Okay. So because a lot of Americans haven't had cultural experience, especially with this people group, what other kinds of things like that? You probably are more, they're not as unusual to you because you've been in Afghanistan and worked among them, but what else besides that would be surprising?
I think one other thing that I can think of is that As nurses, we want to tell our patients what we're going to do. We want to explain the procedure to them prior to taking care of them, to let them know what care we're going to provide if they're cognizant enough to be able to do that. What I find interesting is that they tell me, no, we don't explain to them. We tell them, this is what's going to happen, and it will make you better. And I go, well, as long as you're telling them what you're doing before you do it, then I'm okay with that. But I had to step back and rephrase what I was teaching, because I wanted to teach compassion and caring and not letting the patient be part of the process, and that's not their culture. So that I had to have a slight adjustment. But it didn't, you tend to listen to their remarks, and then you note that. So the next time you're talking about something, you go, okay, well, we won't go down that alley. We'll make sure that we present it as you need to tell your patient that this is what you're doing instead of getting their consent. Getting consent is not on their – they don't do consent like we do. So informed consent doesn't happen.
All right. In terms of – the resources that nurses have, and like for continuing their education or learning new skills or those kinds of things, obviously they don't document on computers. They probably have paper charting.
They have paper charting, but it's very limited. That's one of the other areas that I want to focus on is documentation. When they were taking care of a patient and they were suctioning a patient, all they put down is that they suctioned the patient. And I said, well, for the doctors to know whether the patient is doing better or not, you need to tell them, when you suction the patient, how did the patient tolerate it? What color was the material from the suction? How thick was it? Did you oxygenate your patient beforehand? Did you give them that 100%? Did you, what was their pulse ox? What was their vital signs, before and after? Did you listen to their lungs? And that's that's where I got into that we need to teach them lung assessments when they don't even put a stethoscope to their chest when they're doing their patient care. I said, okay, well, we need to do some lung assessments.
Okay. So as you teach, you realize more things that they could use additional teaching on.
Exactly. So, I think that there was a lot of basic things done, and one of the things that I talked to the director of nursing about is I said back at home in my hospital, because I try to make it real small town so they don't think, well, in America, back at home in my hospital, I said, we have to take certain classes every year as a refresher. I said, it's not meant to tell them they don't know how to do their job. It's just to make sure that their skills are reinforced every year. So it's very important for certain things like infection control that we go over this every year. So I kind of where I'm working at now is looking at things that might be important to get translated and left behind. Because what I do is when I do a lecture, I do it in PowerPoint when I'm not standing in front of them. And I have it translated into Dari so that when I leave, they have the training tools to do this again. So it's not giving them the fish, it's teaching them how to fish. So when I walk away, I want to feel like, well, they can take this information and they can use it again to train new nurses or just reinforce education on their staff. And they seem to be very open-minded about that.
So you said Dari is the language. Can you spell that?
D-A-R-H-I, D-A-R-I-H-I. I think it's D-A-R-I-H-I.
Okay. And that's their local, that's a dialect? Or?
Yes, that's a local dialect here.
Okay. So they do have, you do have access to a computer and a projector where you can use PowerPoint.
Yes, actually we do, which is very interesting. So I have, in fact, the class I taught this week on infection control, I was able to have a PowerPoint presentation and put it up on the screen and allowed them to, it was both in English and in Dari, and they were, so those that could read, could read it, and then, of course, I had the interpreter, so a half-hour class took me an hour to teach, to repeat what I was saying to them in Dari so they would understand.
Right. So
and I was really happy because they were actually asking questions. When we talked about exposure, like if you had exposure to hepatitis or HIV or so, I had one nurse says, well, what do American nurses do if they get exposed? So I said, you know, I go back into, well, in my hospital, this is, you know, we fill out certain paperwork, we tell our supervisor, we go to the emergency room, we follow up with the hospital process and procedures, and if determined, we take medication to help us from getting that infection and that disease. So
exciting to see them responding to the training and being right in line with you. So do they have stethoscopes?
Not very many. I asked that question, and they have to share. So we're working on trying to get stethoscopes for them. The one of the things that we're trying to do is find ways to help them obtain medical equipment and stuff, basic stuff, you know, like stethoscopes. They have some, but not every nurse, like we're used to, every nurse has their own stethoscope. They don't. They have to share.
Okay. So are there other nurses doing this, or are you the only one?
Right at the moment, I'm the only one. We have two doctors and myself who are doing the mentoring and training. I believe because they had the initial first training with the school, and they're trying to get they have a problem with getting nursing instructors because the nursing instructors work at the hospital. So if they need them at the hospital, then they don't show up at school. And so there's a problem with the continuity of nursing staff instructions. I won't say it's as bad as we have in the States. I think it's worse here. I mean, in the States, we have problems with getting nursing instructors. But usually a nursing instructor, when you're an instructor, you do your job, and then you do per diem work on the side if you want to do that. But you're never usually called from your class to go to work and leaving your students without an instructor. So they're still trying to work out some of that type of details to make sure that they have enough instructors to teach the classes, so they'll have enough nurses to take care of their patients.
Okay. So the hospital where you have been teaching, where exactly is it? What city or town or?
I can just tell you it's in Kabul.
Okay. And do you know how big the hospital is? How many patients can they accommodate?
I don't know that, but I do know it's probably about 12 floors. It's a pretty large hospital.
All right.
It's a fairly large hospital, yeah. I don't know how many patients they have, though, in there.
Okay. From your experience, is that a typical hospital in Afghanistan, or is that different than many?
I think it's probably a larger hospital than most of the hospitals.
Okay. And how many patients?
I know they have a children's hospital that's not far from this one. And then when we discussed TB, they said that their TB patients go to a clinic, another hospital all by itself. So when I discussed signs and symptoms of TB, just to make sure that they're knowledgeable as far as that goes, and that they put their mask on, and then since that's what they do, they transfer them to this other facility, which I've not been to. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that, but I'll probably just stay here at this hospital and help out.
Okay. How many patients are in the ICU that you've been visiting?
The patients go anywhere like a normal ICU. It fluctuates from about 7 to 8, and then some days there's just one. And actually, it's a variety of ages, too. All adults, no children, but very elderly to very I believe one of the youngest ones I saw was probably in his early 20s.
Okay. All right. So how long is your term of duty over there in Afghanistan?
My term of duty is 9 months.
So when would you be returning to Florida?
I hopefully get to return to Florida by May. I think they're going to try to let us go back a little early, but they keep moving the calendar back and forth a little bit. So I'm hoping to get home in May time.
Okay. Are you thinking to try to find other nurses to do some of what you've been doing before you leave?
I'm going to try. The problem is that where I'm stationed at, where it's not a medical place. It is, you know, there are some medical personnel here. There is a, like I said, there is a small group, and they will probably carry on for a while until they feel that that they no longer need any help. But right now, there's only two physicians that are assigned to the hospital to train and oversee and advise. So as a nurse, I'm kind of holding down the gauntlet here for nurses, trying to make sure that the nurses are getting some access to education and training. One of the things that I found interesting is when I was in the ICU and I'm looking around and asking questions, and I started talking to the doctor that I'm working with, and he goes, "You see things that I don't." I said, "That's because I see it from a nurse's perspective." I said, so I said, "We see things differently." And I said, "I'm looking at how they're taking care of the patients, you know." And one of the other things that our future classes I want to do is Foley care, and we talked about, we've had quite a discussion on how long you leave a Foley in and the appropriate Foley care and how do you document. I was telling them cloudy, and they're like looking at me like, "Cloudy? Well, clouds, there's no clouds in the urine." And I'm like, okay, it looks kind of milky. You know, I'm like trying to find a term that they would understand, but we use some terms that don't quite translate over to where they understand. So I sometimes have to come up with different terms to make them understand how, okay, clear is good. These are other things you need to write down if you see this in the Foley bags. But it is kind of funny because they kind of laughed at me when I said that the urine was cloudy, and I go, okay.
Yeah, those are funny questions when you're in a hospital. Okay, so I just need to get a bit more information about you personally. Besides RN, and you gave me some other credentials, can you tell me again what your credentials are, your all those little letters after your name?
I'm an RN, BHS, MBA, MSN.
MBA. PHS, is that what you said?
Bachelor in Health Services. Yeah. So an RN, BHS, MBA, MSN.
All right. Okay.
Way too many letters.
And then, let's see. So when you go back, let me see. Did you give me the name of your hospital?
No, you're I'm working right now. When I was in the hospital, I was in Oklahoma, and that was Jackson County Memorial Hospital. But where I'm going back to, at least initially, will be back to West Palm Beach Jail as a nursing education coordinator. But I am looking into finding a position in education as far as teaching nurses a little bit closer to where I live, because it's about an hour's drive from where I live to the Palm Beach Jail. And I understand they built a brand-new hospital in Port St. Lucie and finished it up before I'm getting back home. So I might look for a nursing educator position there, or actually IRCC. Oh, no, I guess it's not IRCC. It's IR. What is it? It's now a university and not a community college. Things have changed over the years. But I am looking at trying to get an actual nursing educator position.
Okay. And where did you get your nursing, actual nursing training?
Walden University. I received my ADN at Oklahoma Community College, Western Oklahoma Community College, and Altus. And then I received my MSN through Walden University online. I did my practicum in nursing education at Altus Hospital. So,
okay. So Western Oklahoma Community College in what town or city?
In Altus, Oklahoma.
Can you spell that?
Altus.
Okay. I wasn't familiar with that. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's... I only have 600 words to write, and I know I have a lot more information, but I wanted to be comprehensive. So
okay.
I sure appreciate your taking the time to do this.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you so much. And I'm sure that the article will be forwarded to you, or you'll get online access to it through the contact that the NurseWeek editor has.
All right. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.